You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell. Local sports, national sports, the G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Ah, yes, it is hour number two. Coming up bottom of the hour. Is that... What is that for?
That's for you.
For me?
Yeah.
Why am I getting a standing sort of yes cheer from an arena that's not here?
30,000 strong here in Metairie.
Wow. All right, what's the real reason?
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. That's just stupid.
Today's more than what? Camel Wednesday, hump day, whatever it is.
Ah, yes, there it is. The camel. Head coach Sean of the Payton. And Shot T in the Digital Underground.
On your hot take hump day.
Stop it. That, I knew you were grinning for
something. Oh, can't wait to get that out.
That is not your name.
Listen.
Words of wisdom. Gus Kattengell, hour number two, along with Jason Hot Take Trosclair.
Fire, baby.
You want to be ridiculous? There it is.
Sizzling.
I just said it.
Sizzling.
There is your name. Give me a hot take right now.
I've been giving you hot takes.
Give me one right now.
No, you never know when it's going to come. You never know when it's going to come.
You're a joke.
That's anyway, not a hot take.
So Auburn alum Charles Barkley and Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts have apparently a little Iron Bowl bet coming up in 2 weeks. You ready?
I'm ready.
You want to know what the bet is?
Sure.
Typically, like, you know, you see this and you get like, you know, you have to wear the other team's jerseys, things like that. Well, Barkley on a show this week said that Jalen Hurts has challenged him to a bet in which the loser has to wear the other team's jersey after the Iron Bowl in 2 weeks. And okay, that's fine. So he would have to wear an Alabama jersey on TV. He was going to have to wear an Auburn one on campus. Got the jersey coming. My Tigers need a win because I don't want to wear that crap on TNT. Barkley may not like wearing an Alabama jersey on TV if Auburn was to lose, but it would be generally thought of as good, harmless fun. Now, Jalen Hurts had to wear an Auburn jersey on Alabama's campus. Think about it. It's probably not going to go over too well.
No. How about if I...
That could seriously hurt him. I mean, like, Barkley is in a studio on TV.
And, safe haven.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're going to make fun of him, yuck it up, probably make a gif on it. And, you know.
It'll be a meme.
Right.
You know?
He has to sing Roll Tide. That's fine. No one's going to bother him. Jalen Hurts has to wear the Auburn... First off, his teammates are not going to like it. And,
Have fun with that.
Yeah. I think I can see why they're getting it out the way now, 2 weeks before. Just to let the students know, the fans know, if you see me here, look, it's a bet.
A very fair heads up.
Yeah.
Go easy on me, right?
Ooh. It's going to be a big game, by the way.
Where's my jersey?
For what?
With my name on it.
Yeah.
My hot take.
You know, that is not a hot take. A hot take is an opinion.
Jersey.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
You know what?
It's Thank you, Joey.
Why are you encouraging this, Joey?
Can you imagine the flames on my jersey?
There's no flame. What are you talking about?
That's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit.
No one calls you Mr. Fahrenheit. No one.
Yep.
You just made that up right now.
Kinda.
This very second. Mr. Fahrenheit.
I think that might go in my jersey.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
No I think one, it's great.
No one calls you Mr. Fahrenheit. What are you, Fahrenheit, because of your hot takes? Oh, come on. Why are you dancing? Stop. Don't do that. That. Oh.
I am the Inferno, baby.
Oh, no, you're not. Now you're Inferno.
So my bedroom is called the Inferno.
Okay, that's it. You're done. We're talking about the Saints. Saints taking on the Redskins. 7.5-point favorites here in New Orleans Saints. Give me some Saints music.
Sure.
Do your job.
Okay, here you go.
Two games that is not Saints music.
That is hot music.
They are hot. Never mind. Keep it up. Why not? They've won you 7 in a row. It's a hot team.
That's right.
It is.
They're on fire.
Sizzling.
Told you that would work.
You know what? 325 now. Saints at the Rams. It was flexed. It was flexed from Fox to CBS, if that makes any sense. They didn't flex it to the Sunday night game. No. But they did flex it. It's just they switched networks. Fox must be going, what? What did you do? In return, CBS will gladly give them Tennessee at Indianapolis to air at the
same
time.
That's a great trade.
That's not
They must be
close.
So happy about
no,
that.
No, they're not happy. But in return, they made peace. Because in week three, Fox will have the game of the week. Carolina at New Orleans. That game has been flexed to 325. So, Saints fans, it is not a noon game in 2 weeks. In 3 weeks, rather, it is a 325 kickoff in the Dome. Got that, Jason?
Got it.
Redskins at noon Sunday. The next 2 weeks, 325 kickoffs. Everybody got it?
Are we good?
We good? Noon Sunday, late kickoffs the next 2 weeks.
If it's still confusing, ask Siri or Google. They'll tell you the times.
Think they'll know by now?
Ooh, you think? I wonder.
You can try that during the break. See if we can do that. Coach Sean Payton did speak already with reporters of the team. They've wrapped up practice already. Open locker room starting here in minutes, so we'll have all that for you, of course, tomorrow and on Friday when we're live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen in Tap. The concerns about Kirk Cousins. Look, he's a good quarterback. Redskins, for a while, had a nice lead on the Vikings, going back and forth with them before they lost last week at home to Minnesota. Sean Payton says, look, you put on the film, this is what I see about Mr. Kirk Cousins.
They get the ball down the field. I think they're third, you know, in throwing the ball, passing attempts, plus 20 yards. I mean, they stretch the field vertically. I also see someone, man, that epitomizes a competitor. I mean, you see someone who there's a feistiness about him, a toughness about him, and I think it's contagious with his teammates. And so we've seen, it just so happens we've been watching a lot of Washington offense with some of the crossover games, but they get the ball down the field.
So we're going to test the secondary. And again, you can say, Jason, that is a strength of the Saints, for sure, being able to do that and get the ball downfield. One of the other things that Sean Payton was asked about this morning was one of the things that I think is a storyline as to why they are 7-2 and have won seven straight has been the play of that offensive line. Again, you do not rush for 298 yards if you cannot block the guys up front. That's a hot analysis right there.
Now that's a hot take, my friend.
You know what? Woo! Now you're making fun.
Sizzling.
But in all seriousness, you've had, you know, Max Unger with the injuries, right? Teron Armstead's been injured. Zach Strief is lost with an injury. Larry Warford had to miss a game with an injury. I mean, it's been insane. The ability to be able to not only come back, but to deal with those injuries. And Coach Sean Payton says, look, not only with them, but really with anybody that's been nicked up. He's crediting the staff and the trainers for being able to, even if they haven't been healthy, it hasn't really affected them. They come back quick.
One of the things you're always hopeful of during the season is that when you have players that miss time, not for long periods of time. You know, in two of the cases you referenced, you know, those were off-season injuries, and Bo and these guys here, Scotty, have done a great job, you know, getting those guys back with confidence and ready to play. And I mean, it's huge.
It is. The other thing that's huge, too, is the efficiency right now that Sean Payton says is the key with the Saints offense. We've talked about Drew Brees' numbers. right? They're not the 30 to 40 pass attempts, the 400, 500-yard type games. And
don't have to be.
Right. Plus, also, when you're, you know, 22 of 27, 23 of 25, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, you're pretty efficient. The times throwing are counting. And he says to him, that's the bigger issue, or that's the bigger meaning in the stats and the numbers rather than anything else.
Yeah, I don't – the total numbers never are important. It's more of what we're doing each week. And so, look, I think obviously in today's NFL you have to be able to convert third downs. You have to be able to, you know, attack certain defenses. And, you know, we feel confident that that's something that each week we'll put the time in and be able to do. Willie Snead coming back and working his way back into what we're doing, I think, is a big plus for us as well.
So that's interesting, right? In terms of this, the efficiency and everything is basically because it's a complementary style offense right now, what you're getting. You know, it's not higher risk in terms or the numbers not being as efficient because you're not having to throw nearly as much. I think that's a big thing out of it, for sure. Some other bit of business. Former Razorback, Pepito, Jonathan Williams. Apparently, the Saints and Dirty Birds wanted this running back, special teamer. Atlanta offered him a deal. Saints did as well yesterday because Daniel Lasco went on injury reserve officially yesterday. So a roster spot is open. They need somebody to kind of fill his role, and it's this guy.
We remember him very clearly from a year and a half ago when he came out of Arkansas. There were two running backs that came out that year. We've kept track of him, and coincidentally, Joel had coached him when he was a running back coach at Arkansas. So, look, late Monday night, there was pressure on Joel because he had two contracts offered to him, which was just coincidence. He had Atlanta and New Orleans both recruiting him hard, and I'd given him a call. Joel was talking to him and the agent, Mickey. You know, a lot of people get involved in that, and fortunately, you know, we were able to sign him. He's excited about, you know, becoming a Saint, and he's got the makeup, the fit, all these other intangibles that I think are important. So today'll be his first practice.
So, look, it seems like, again, it's somebody that can fill in and do that role there. So if you're wondering who Jonathan Williams is, there you go. That it gives you the idea on that. The other thing that we talked about in hour number one, too, is just trying to keep this team grounded. Lots of media requests. We had a little fun with this, right? I love Sean Payton's attitude on this. Apparently, a lot of teams are wanting to hear from the New Orleans Saints. Interview here, interview there, interview everywhere. Sean, on how he's dealing with all of that.
You name it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a list on my desk here. It'll choke you.
I mean, can you estimate how many requests?
No. Just more than I'm comfortable with and more that we're going to fill. But that's different than 3 years ago. There's not enough time in the day to make everyone happy that way. So somebody's going to be unhappy, and that's just how it is. And look, that's just – but way too many.
Hey, do me a favor, Jason.
Oh, you're smirking. I don't like that.
Why don't you put in a request? O-line.
Cam Jordan.
Ingram.
Morstead.
Kamara. Breeze.
The whole team.
Yeah, just.
Peyton himself.
The entire roster. Somebody.
Gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Saint.
Why not? Let's do it all. Add to the list. Why not? I mean, at least we know where it's going.
Oh, and a pile.
And a pile.
Clearly.
That won't be looked at, but at least we made the list. We're high on making lists here on this show.
Now, there's your hot take.
Any kind
I'm
of,
on fire right now.
You know what? You've been waiting all show to do that, haven't you?
Well, I just found it, so I figured I could throw it in.
Wow. Unbelievable. Anyway, in all seriousness, this is what Sean Payton is actually having to do now every day. As he was asked this morning, is it something that you're including in your meetings? Is it something that you're talking to about the team more and more?
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely. Every day, you know, we talk about the realities of today, you know, each week, and the understanding of, you know, we're just past the midway point of the season, and yet, you know, the experts will be talking playoffs, Super Bowl. It's the craziest stuff ever, and tune it out and laugh at it, understand what it is. But there's so much more we have to do and accomplish, and we just got to look at it like we have been with a win the day approach, practice well, preparation, and get ready for this game. But the other stuff is can be toxic.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in. To Metairie we go with the phone call. Thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got, man?
Hey, Gus, what's going on? What's going on, Mr. Fahrenheit?
Aha! Come
on. I actually...
My number one supporter calling for Metairie.
I have a quick question for you guys, because I'm actually curious.
Sure.
If the Saints keep on going as good as they're going, do you guys think that the NFL may actually look at our offensive coordinator or our defensive coordinator as head coaching candidate?
Well, Pete Carmichael has been calling plays with Sean Payton on and off, and he's been here a while. I think if there's a coordinator that's going to be hot just because of the way the season's gone, it would probably be Dennis Allen with the defense and turning it around. That's an interesting question. If the Saints do well and get into the postseason or maybe even get a little further, if a team will be calling him again. Look, the Raiders did. He lasted a year or so, right? I think it was a year. And
right.
I just wonder, because it's funny you say that. I'm watching the game on Sunday, and I honestly was thinking, how long would he stay? I think he stays to see where this defense sort of goes. I would probably say my guess. Now, look, if he gets offered a job this year, I think he considers it. But my guess would be probably 2 years before you have to think about Dennis Allen leaving. Only because I just don't know if the Saints can do that this year or not. But I think another year with another draft and another full season of, you know, knowing that defense, then, man, right. He can. And again, look, he's got them at the number 8 defense overall in the NFL. That's a hell of an accomplishment. I mean, that's
right.
Ridiculous. So that's,
I mean, because it always makes me wonder, especially for Pete Carmichael, because he's been with us for so long, but I have never heard his name being called for a head coach, and his offense is always top 10.
Yeah, look, I'm with you, and it'll be interesting to see. Again, I think a lot of it is what's available, what positions are there, and with team, you know, and you wonder if the Saints sweeten the pot a bit, maybe give them a raise, things of that nature. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Thanks for the phone call, though, man.
Thank you.
Yep. Appreciate it. Quick break. We come back. We'll talk about your New Orleans Pelicans taking on the Toronto Raptors. Had David Wesley on in hour number one. Color analyst, Fox Sports New Orleans for your pals. Gave some interesting stats. We'll push that next. When we come back, it's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. All right, Pepito, the Toronto Raptors are in town for your Pelicans. Toronto 8-5, 4-4 away from north of the border. Pels 3-3 at home, 8-6 on the season. Spoke with David Wesley earlier in the show. He did give us hot takes.
No, he did.
Yeah. Is he, what? What is this?
It's fire.
Oh, come on. You have just taken this a little bit too far.
Me?
Yeah.
Mr. Fahrenheit?
You're not
no
Mr.
Way.
Fahrenheit, even though a caller just did call you Mr. Fahrenheit. Now apparently you have fire crackling in the background. What is it? Now you got Joey. See what you do?
When you're hot, you're not.
You haven't given
That's
us
you.
A hot take. What exactly have you given us?
Oh, I've been given hot takes since August 23rd, 1980. It's my birthday.
No,
it's got
it
on the
what?
Calendar.
Stop it.
I get a card every year from Joey. Not you.
Know, you know what is a hot... Stop. You know what a hot take is?
Considering the Pelicans tonight?
Uh-huh. Give me one Pel's hot take, and you can go with Mr. Fahrenheit the rest of the show.
No turnovers. How hot was that, man?
That is not a hot take.
Woo!
Stop it. Turn the sounder. That is not a hot take.
So hot.
42 turnovers in the last two games by the Pelicans. They have won 5 of 6. That's an improvement. Doing well. What's interesting, as I asked David Wesley back in hour number one, last week, Pels lost 122-118 in that game. AD subpar, 18 points, 7 rebounds. And again, I mean, it's tough to say that he, you know, didn't play well. But we're just so used to him having monster numbers. I mean, that's not a bad night at all in the NBA. For him, 6 of 14 on the floor is a bad night. DeMarcus Cousins, 8 of 24. 20 points, 15 rebounds. The problem was that I had that night, he took 10 three-pointers. He took 10. And he was 2 of 10. Jrue Holiday kept the Pels in it. 34 points that night, if you remember. It was 14 of 20, 4 for 4 from the free throw line, 2 of 6 from downtown. So out of his 14 shots, 12 were not from beyond the arc. He was attacking the basket. He was making a lot of plays, being aggressive. Jrue Holiday is at best when he's aggressive, decisive. A lot of his turnovers, charges he gets called for, indecisive. Slow to attack, kind of doesn't know what he needs to do. Go. Boogie and AD will play off of you. And that's what I saw in that game. And David said, look, don't overthink it. Don't overcorrect it going into tonight's game. Do what you did in that game. They shot over 50%, he said. 53.7 to be exact. From beyond the arc, 41%. 13 of 31. He said they had 31 assists to just 13 turnovers. He said, do the same thing. AD and Boogie will play better. What else was interesting about that game was the Pelicans only won 8 deep. 5 starters, 3 bench players, Miller, Nelson, and Allen. Now, Rajon Rondo didn't play. Ian Clark didn't play. Chuck Diallo didn't play. Josh Smith was on a roster. He no longer is. He's done. Thanks for showing up. We did see Rajon Rondo get back in last game. 5 minutes, Jason. 5 minutes is what he played. You happy with that 5 minutes?
For the moment.
Well, you know what? He's going to take that and triple it for you.
There we go.
15 minutes today. He was asked after the game, if you remember, what is the plan? He had a little humor, Jason, a little humor on his minutes. He's like, oh, you know, so you played five today. Mm-hmm. What's next?
I think they're going to go back to 4 minutes Wednesday. like I said, I'm going to see how my body responds tomorrow morning, and then we'll go from there, talking to, you know, Doc and coach and seeing how my body responds. I'm going to watch film, see how my movement was out there on the court, and just keep trying to build my minutes up.
So clearly must have felt better, and based off of what he saw on film in the 5 minutes, they're saying let's go up to 15 minutes. That's going to help, and I agree. David said it. I think if you watch the Pels, you're going to have another coach on the field. The high volume of turnovers the Pels create, and I say create because they do it themselves. They're not really forced, right? In tennis, you have unforced errors and forced errors, you know, like when you just hit it into the net. They're just bad basketball plays. You know, taking on one too many defenders there, dribbling yourself into some trouble, kind of getting yourself caught in midair, just bad passes, telegraphing them, lazy passes, not really moving, things of that nature. Those are all correctable. But it is kind of remarkable when you take a look at it, because Jason and I did it when we were talking, and I'll do it now. If the season ended today, your New Orleans Pelicans would be in the playoffs.
Yes!
5 seed.
We made it.
5 seed.
We made it.
The problem is it's November 15th, mm-hmm. and you got December, January, February.
The one after that.
March.
And the one after that.
Well, the season ends in April.
There you go.
2 weeks in. So you got some basketball to play. But if the season ended today, they're in.
Can the season end today?
No.
Can we put in a word?
No.
A request?
No. Put in a word. Who are you requesting it to? The commissioner, Adam Silver?
Yeah, why not?
Hey,
we're podness.
Adam. AS. What's up, dude? Mr. S. Mr. Sill.
Sill.
Yeah.
Sill? I call him Sill. Call him A-Sill.
Well, I mean, you are the nickname guy. But no, right now it's the Warriors at 11-3, the Rockets 11-4, Spurs 9-5, T-Wolves 8-5, Pels 8-6, Nuggets 8-6. By the way, that is the opponents on Friday on the road at Denver between the Pels and Nuggets. Grizzlies are 7-6, Portland 7-6, Thunder 6-7, Jazz 6-8, Lakers as well 6-8, Clippers are now 5-8, Phoenix 5-10. Sacramento 3-10, and the Dallas Mavericks are 2-13. We touched briefly with David about the Celtics. You know they've won 13 in a row. Yesterday was their 13th in a row. They're 13-2. The Pistons are 10-3. And as Wesley said in the segment, they were thinking of firing Reggie Jackson, the head coach. They're 10-3. Pepito, would you like to give a hot take on your team, the Kingdom? They are 7-7. Had to come back down 23 to the New York Knicks in their last game. And if the playoffs started today, they would not be in.
No, that would not be good for the Kingdom.
I've been trying to tell you.
The Kingdom would be on fire, speaking of fire.
You know what? That's stop.
So, you saw I twisted
that? No. When we come back, we'll take the phone call. Then we'll talk some soccer with Coach Kenny Farrell, and then we'll do some wrestling. Don't go anywhere. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Don't sound so excited.
Hi.
Soak it in,
you know what?
Soak it in.
The fact that you're standing here with your arms stretched up to the air.
You see the fire come out of my palms right now?
I didn't even know Queen made a song called Mr. Fahrenheit.
Oh, it's not called Mr. Fahrenheit. It's Don't Stop Me Now. It's one of their classics.
So out of the entire song, you just happen to remember the part that says...
Well, no, I know the entire song. One of my favorite bands, but...
You know you're done. It's the time to talk soccer, man.
Just about, but I got to give a shout out to Michael on Twitter, calling me the Wizard of Warmth.
Oh, come on. The Wizard of Warmth?
The Flamethrower? The Heat Exchanger?
Oh, come on. You know what?
I'm a dragon, all right.
Oh, come on.
But I'm more like a Game of Thrones dragon.
Now you're a dragon, huh?
Oh, totally.
Again, I'm still waiting for your one hot take that started all of this.
Oh, dude, I told you, man. It's been 37 years of hot takes.
I'm talking about the one today that got you the title, Mr. Fahrenheit.
Oh, I mean, you don't necessarily have to give a hot take to get a title. I mean, you do this every day.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Verified. And
I am verified.
The Illusionist. Well, I call you the delusionist.
No, I'm the illusionist.
I think that's right.
Illusionist.
Want to talk some soccer?
Yeah, let's do it.
You ready?
Give me the open. So we can talk a little soccer, as always, each and every Wednesday. 2:30, we speak with the head coach of your New Orleans Jesters. Got a couple of games stateside. I guess they really kind of talk about there. Pepito, including a friendly. Coach Kenny Farrell joins us. What's up, Coach? How are you? Hello, Coach. No, Coach. We will call Coach here in a second. Pepito, some games, though, stateside?
Yeah, well, a couple of them I want to talk about. Yesterday, Gus, a bunch of the newbies for the United States men's team jumped on board and played against Portugal. The last friendly of 2017, U.S. and Portugal, it ended up as a 1-1 draw. But the cool thing about that, and we'll talk to Coach about that in a moment here, the one goal from the U.S. was from a kid, I want to say he's 18, 19 years old, a friend of Christian Pulisic, plays over for Schalke out in Germany, in Bundesliga. Weston McKennie, midfielder, get his first appearance with the national team and also his first goal. So I think something to look forward to there. I like that a lot. Now you saw some other newbies get their first caps as national teams, but the big thing is here, it's the last game of the year. They're done for 2017, unfortunately.
Good.
They pick things up in 20. No, I hear you.
I'm bothered by
it. I hear
it.
You. They pick things up in January, though, for their first friendly of the year against Bosnia Herzegovina.
Whoop de doo.
So, hey, the rebuilding phase begins.
Wait, who do they play?
Bosnia Herzegovina.
Who?
Bosnia and Herzegovina. It's the country.
When did
Have you ever looked at a map of Europe before?
I'm just. When did Bosnia, like, share another country?
I mean, there's like been civil wars
Bosnia.
Going on there. Well, there were civil wars
so now
there for
Bosnia slash who?
Herzegovina.
Who?
Herzegovina.
Herzegovina?
You've never heard of this country before.
I've heard of Bosnia.
Look, Google it. It's a real place, and they're playing the U.S. in January. The rebuilding phase, baby. We're coming back.
No. Are we really calling it the rebuilding phase?
It kind of is. We have to, man.
How did Cristiano Ronaldo do?
Did not play. But the main point to look at, again, younger player
right?
coming on for the national team and scoring for us going into 2018. So at least that's one positive. Something else to look at, I want to talk to Coach about this. Ireland, unfortunately, would not be making the World Cup. They lost a monstrous loss to Denmark. 5-1 was that final. Also, Australia defeating Honduras. Australia will make it into the World Cup. Honduras of the CONCACAF region, not making it at all. But the biggest story I want to talk to you about, Gus, and I want to get your takes on this too. Do you know of any of the big European teams not making it to the World Cup?
There's actually, yeah, there's like a number of teams that are not doing it that are joining the U.S. route.
Yeah.
Of, and actually, Mike Conte, who covers the Falcons up in Atlanta and the Hawks, I saw him tweet early. He's like, they should just have a didn't make the cup. or tournament of the teams that didn't. And he's like, look, ESPN should buy the rights and they should do it and have, like, this is for real?
Like, they're talking about it.
Right, because you got some pretty good teams in there.
An invitational, essentially.
Yeah, Italy didn't make one.
It's amazing, man. But we'll get Coach's opinion on this, but just throw it out there very quickly. Netherlands not making the World Cup.
Really?
And the main story, Italy will not be in the 2018 World Cup.
Coach, we were just talking about, we kind of thought it was a little fun, little rumor mill, but I mean, should there be some sort of fun little invitational with all the teams that did make the World Cup?
For what? To make money for those teams, I suppose. But
yeah, why not?
It won't mean much. To be honest, it would be great for the U.S. if they can do it, because the teams that have been eliminated have some really good players, and if they can guarantee this summer that those players will come with those national teams, I would go for it if I was the U.S. to host something, because grooming our own young players who have shown some talent, as you saw yesterday versus Portugal,
mm-hmm.
I think the beginning of the five-year plan started, you know, yesterday to get back to the World Cup in 4 years from now. So, yes, I would love to see it happen. You know, the thing is, I would want to know if those teams will commit to bring, you know, top-quality players. I mean, I know a lot are retiring and a lot won't be around in the future, but they need to bring top-quality players with them to make it worthwhile.
I thought Jason was just making that up. I didn't know it was being talked about.
I think it's a pretty cool
idea. No, it's been talked about, yeah. Yeah, well, no, it's been talked about. It started floating out there this morning, so it is. I think U.S. is looking to make something like that happen.
Why not? And, Coach, you mentioned it's part of the rebuilding phase, and it starts with it. And what did you take away from the game or the match yesterday with Portugal?
I think it's a great start.
Really?
You go on the road. Yes, I think it's a great start. I think you go on the road, you blood young people, and you got to believe in that kind of talent. And I said, when you're not preparing for the next game, you're preparing for 4 years from now, 4.5, 5 years from now. So I think it's a good start. I think they went on the road. Now, look, what's going to be interesting about it is who's the coaching staff going to be going forward? Because that coaching staff is pretty much the same as we've had all the way, you know, since Bruce Arena got in. So is that going to be the same or is that going to change? I hope it changes. But I do like the idea of bringing young players through and starting to groom these players to be ready for the, you know, for the big games. And then the other question that happens to us then is, if those players start doing well at international level, all of a sudden, are they going to play in Major League Soccer? Or are they going to go into European League, South American League to groom their game? That's where the next big question comes. You know, what part of that, if it was Bruce Arena, he'd be encouraging them to stay in Major League Soccer. If somebody else, is he going to encourage them to go into top-level European leagues? A big question that's going to be coming up down the road as you move forward. But then, I think we've made a move in the right direction.
Yeah. And, Coach, I don't see, of course, someone like Weston McKennie, who scored the goal for the U.S., plays over in Schalke in Bundesliga.
Yeah.
He's clearly not going anywhere. I don't see him coming to the MLS probably ever.
Yeah.
Maybe later in his career. But overall, I mean, so many other young players. Josh Sargent had a call in. He's still playing developmental in St. Louis. When you see these young kids crop up like this into the national scene, and then you see them, really, they're performing well, as we saw yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Does it give you any hope going forward, starting in 2018, that, I think our rebuilding phase might look pretty good here?
Yeah, I mean, it does. But, again, it's going to boil down to coaching staff and what they can accomplish going forward and where these players are going to be developed. Mm-hmm. Remember, with their national team, how many games do they play each year? If they're not in a tournament, They might get together 4 or 5 times a year at most, or 3 or 4 days at most. So, hell, you know, so what they're doing in their clubs is very important. And that's going to be a big factor in how good we become. Not just playing for the national team, but playing for their clubs. And, you know, I suppose the decision-making process and who influences these players if they've got opportunities to play beyond Major League Soccer. Because right now, Major League Soccer is not getting them ready for the highest level. Not certainly if they can play in top-flight European leagues or even in one of the South American leagues. So, so I think that I think that's going to be a big question. But you know, looking at what we have right now and going forward, there's hope and it looks bright. And I think, as I say, when you think about the number of days the U.S. national team is together training in a year versus the number of days they're at their clubs, and that's something that has to be watched out for.
Speaking of something on the complete opposite side of refreshing and looking good, Italy. Not going to the World Cup, an absolute national disaster over in that country. I've been reading some of the headlines. Even, you know, their head coach, Gianpiero Ventura, has already been sacked. He's gone. They're already looking for a new coach.
My favorite part about soccer is when it's not a firing, it's a sacking.
Oh, it is. It's get out of here. It's bad. Looking at some of these stats, I was looking at some stats about Italy in the World Cup. They've won 4 cups, 34, 38, 82, and 06. They've competed in 18 of the 21 tournaments, the second most along with Germany. And then they also reached the finals 6 times, also a 3rd and 4th place. And they will not be in the World Cup.
I mean, from Italy.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish it.
No, I mean, your point of view as a coach, when you see something like this happen on the European level, what's your immediate thought by that? I mean, it's how do you see this?
Well, I think the reaction is the right one. Like, when you look at, if you want to be second best at anything for the rest of your life, you know, take the attitude that maybe Bruce Arena took. You know, don't change anything. Everything's okay. That's what we were hearing from U.S. soccer, not from Arena, but just from everybody. Things are moving in the right direction. But there was no cure. There was no. The passion was from the fans, all right, because they blew up. But in general, they weren't, you know, upset enough to think that it wasn't good enough. Now, we're not talking about the U.S. just making the World Cup finals. You know, they didn't make it.
Right.
You look at Italy, that has. It's just so unacceptable to them. That's what's put a fire on everybody, and it's going to cause a lot of introspection into what's been happening. Now, look, the difference is, you know, two of their opportunities had been scored, and they would have been in the World Cup finals. That's how close it comes, you know, and they could have done that against Sweden. But I like the way soccer is with these top nations. When if you're not there, it's not good enough. You move on, you get it done, you fix the problem, you introspect, and you make no excuses. You get on with it.
Yeah,
and you
and
try
I just
and improve
hope,
yourself.
Totally. Yeah. And I just hope that the U.S. can learn from that, too.
Yeah, I would hope so, too.
Well, we'll see. Thank you, Coach, as always. We like to chime in with you on Wednesday, and you're up in New York doing a bit of business, so thank you for pulling a little bit of your time out.
All right, yeah, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Yep, absolutely. At Nola Jester is the way to follow Coach and his jesters, and tweet at him.
That segment was on fire.
You know what?
Speaking of fire, we got some good stuff to talk about.
I got
segment.
Some fire for you. At Pelicans NBA on Twitter, Pepito, if you look at it, what is that right there? That is DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, and there's flames, there's fire, as it's comic book hero night tonight at the Smoothie King Center. Come dressed as your favorite superhero to tonight's game to compete in a halftime costume contest. And go meet and register section 101 in the concourse. Fans can go enter the contest there. You participate in halftime. Let the staff know, and there you go.
When we come back from the break, Gus, something else to promote.
Okay, but I was going to say, you want to be Mr. Fahrenheit.
I already am.
Why don't you just dress as a flame tonight?
Oh, I'm going to be there. I have a cape and everything.
No, you're not.
They're actually just going to set me on fire. I'm going to run around with
now,
the air.
Now, that would get people to go.
Totally. I'd do it.
Right on the midcourt, right there. You can only do it once.
Oh, yeah, it's a one-time performance. One night only with Mr. Fahrenheit.
I just set you on fire.
Absolutely. I'm ready.
Man, I tell you, could I strike the match? That'd be great. Just
we'll see. I don't know if I trust you.
To light you on fire?
Yeah.
Oh, it gets... Pepito? Got a big event coming up here in April. Lots of excitement.
Yes, sir.
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania 34 back in NOLA. For the the city's birthday. It's the reason they really came back in 2018. Tricentennial, man.
Yes.
300 years old.
Yes.
Goodness. But very cool event coming up tomorrow at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Uh-huh.
It's a free WrestleMania on sale party that's going to be going on the Superdome field.
Mm-hmm.
Free to the public. You can go out there and you can start, you can get tickets to the on sale party before tickets go on sale on Friday.
Right.
What's really cool about, this event, Gus, and I'll be there. You got the box office right there nearby, mm-hmm. so you can hop on the presale, get your tickets. You get to meet superstars like Charlotte,
really?
Current SmackDown Women's Champion,
uh-huh.
Hardy Boys, Mark Henry, Heath Slater, Mickie James, Rhino, WWE Hall of Famer Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
The gate information, doors open at 4:30. That's a gate A, ground level.
Yep.
5:30, the party begins.
And it's free.
And it's free. You can park in Garage 6.
Nice. So free parking, free entrance. You can go pick out your seat and go get your tickets. And more importantly, meet some superstars.
And NXT will be putting on some live matches, too.
Really?
Yeah.
While that's going on?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Oh, I need to find somebody to watch Carter.
I know. So I might be talking to Jeff and Matt Hardy or Mickey James while watching NXT.
Or Charlotte.
Yeah, we'll see.
Wow, you're going to have a tough... Why did I assign you to this? Why am I not going?
Oh, you didn't assign me to nothing.
No,
I assigned myself.
You. I am the sports director.
No, I'm Mr. Fahrenheit.
Anyway.
You don't direct nothing.
Can't believe you gave yourself a nickname. Josh Bates, go ahead. Give yourself a nickname, as Pepito has given himself a nickname. Mr. Fahrenheit, since he apparently does nothing but give us hot takes, go ahead and give us a nickname. What are you now to be called during this segment?
Well, you know, I've been known as Biggity Bates or JB Butterfly, so either one of those two.
Butterfly. This is fantastic. You're a butterfly and he's a flame. That's awesome. All right, let's talk about some of the y'all are something else. Monday Night Raw. Let's start because we got the pay-per-view Survivor Series, so we'll get into that here in a quick second. Dude, was it anything bigger than obviously the Shield coming out? They're all fighting Roman Reigns. Mr. Bates, are you ready to accept the Roman Empire? Because it seems like the crowd is.
Well, I mean, this is Roman. This is where people fell in love with Roman Reigns. It's like when he was in the Shield, and Seth and Dean did all the talking, and he would come in, get the hot tags, and beat people up. And you know what? Roman is a great wrestler. I've never said that. It's just how certain people are booked and portrayed sometimes. It just rubs you the wrong way. Case in point, Jason Jordan, which I might talk about later. But he was getting booed by the crowd at big time as a face, and people were cheering that Triple H pedigreed him. But yeah, I love the Shield, and I think the Shield versus New Day on Sunday it could be one of those matches that steals the show.
Yeah, I think you're looking at possibly match of the night candidate for Survivor Series.
Match of the night
with those
candidate.
Two teams.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Absolutely,
so you got
man.
Some big matches going on. Look, the team matches of Raw versus SmackDown. Why are you hitting your head on the mic?
You're going to be able to get so much done during those matches because they're going to be like 30, 40 minutes.
Okay, I was going to say, because you have some big names going in it. You know, you saw Cena last week get added to it. So Raw, they made this whole thing. We got to have our fifth guy. It was going to be Jason Jordan. And then Stephanie McMahon comes out. And Jason says, no, that's your son. He's get him out of there, especially that he was hurt. And then what happens? Josh kind of alluded to it.
Yep. Bates said it. Triple H, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Time to play the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love it.
And you got to love that entrance music, too. And just the way he strutted in the ring in his power suit and just demanded that he was in, pedigreed the guy, and walked out. You got to love that.
That's how you do
love
it. Right
it. Not only that, drops the pedigree, walks out, then rebuttons his jacket.
Got to rebutton the jacket.
Walking to the back. Like, good. Oh, my God, that's good.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. So who y'all like on this? I mean, who has the stronger team, SmackDown or Raw?
In my opinion, again, if nothing big happens at the end, an entrance, someone comes back, you know, some big schmoz, whatever it is, I don't see, there's not much going on for me in this match. It's just a bunch of top talent from each show having a giant tag team match for 30, 40
Jason,
minutes.
Jason, maybe the modern day, I'm sorry, Pip, Josh, maybe the modern day Maharaja comes in and wins it for SmackDown.
Oh, I don't think he's going to win it, but I definitely think you're going to see some run-ins. You're going to see some tension for some people. Ben and Samoa Joe, in some capacity, are probably going to hurt themselves. And her team Raw. I can also see Jinder coming out and Actually, no, he'll probably come out during the AJ Styles. I can see him crossing AJ Styles for winning against Brock Lesnar.
Ooh.
Yeah, possibility set there.
Probably a rematch there. But I just think with SmackDown being all baby faces, I just think they're going to win it. Just because I feel like Raw's been kind of played up as kind of the heel almost in a way.
Yeah.
And to put more pressure on the Kurt Angle storyline, having him lose, and what does that do with the dynamic between Stephanie and Triple H? Because I really think they're probably building towards Triple H versus Kurt Angle in New Orleans.
Which would be a classic matchup, for sure. Yeah. That would be a great one.
Well, it'd be interesting, yeah. I mean, I think the seeds have been laid there. AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar.
Ooh.
Pepito.
I cannot wait for this. This is going to, for once, I don't think we're going to see a quick 8-10 minute Brock Lesnar match. I think he and AJ are really going to put in some work here. And you got two completely different styles of work. And I think AJ is going to be the one to carry that match for the most part, as far as calling in and the pace of the match, probably. But man, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun.
Josh?
Yeah, I'd look for AJ to just super sell like those German suplexes. Probably look like the most thunderous German suplexes ever given.
I mean, this is going to be but some like Shawn Michaels esque selling by all accounts with this.
I can't wait. It'll probably take like 15 of them.
Oh, for sure. There's going to be a counter, possibly. Something else, another match that kind of sticks out to me on this is the tag team match. You got Sheamus and Cesaro versus the Usos. Now, obviously, the titles aren't on the line here because it's the two different rosters, but that's another candidate for match of the night. Those are two tag teams. I've never seen the Usos ever have a bad match. Cesaro and Sheamus, great tag team there. Josh, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about two of the hottest tag teams outside of probably Dean Ambrose and Seth, and it's going to be another great match. Like, honestly, all the changes they've made, honestly, have probably been made for the right call to get more excitement around Survivor Series, and that's kind of one of them. Like, now that we have Shield versus New Day, that obviously opened up a chance to see Usos versus Sheamus and Cesaro, and honestly, the Usos are been putting on such great matches. They're almost the face in this match, which I think is interesting because people love seeing them work and love seeing, like, it's going to be a great one.
Yeah.
There he is. Follow Mr. Bates on Twitter, Josh13Bates. Mr. Butterfly, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, no problem, Gus.
See, that's, what are you laughing at?
It's just great.
You know what? This is for you.
For me?
Just for you.
I now present an act that no other performer has ever dared to execute. In fairness, I must warn those with weak constitutions to leave the theater for this performance. Lights? Thank you. Some appropriate music, maestro? Thank you. First, I drink a generous portion of gasoline. Then, some nitroglycerine.
This is Pepito, by the way, at halftime tonight.
I can't wait.
A amount of gunpowder.
Here we go.
Some uranium-238.
Oh, this will do it right here. Halftime tonight, the Pels Raptors game. Here he comes.
Strike an ordinary
match. This is where I'm in. The match.
You'd better hold on to your boyfriends. Swallow the match.
Oh, that's great.
I would really like to see you blow yourself up tonight.
I would so do it.
One time only.
I would absolutely do it.
I mean, look, you would send the ratings through the roof.
One night only
one
with
night
Mr.
Only.
Fahrenheit. Just at your service, baby.
On fire.
Come lick the flame.
Oh, man. Thanks to everybody that tuned in. Thanks to David Wesley. Thanks to Ken Hamlin. Thanks to Josh Bates. Thanks to you, Mr.
Thanks to my supporters, the Fireballs.
Mr. Fahrenheit. Or Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit, come on,
same
man.
Thing.
It's English.
Thursday tailgating tomorrow. Matt Moscone, and after further review next on ESPN New Orleans.